impossible for man. It's probably the hardest thing in the world for a man to accept, because we're so much. You know, we're really quite the people. But there's one thing you must realize. For man, it is impossible. Unless, inasmuch as all things are possible for God, it doesn't take too many smarts to know that you'd better have God in your life. Better be on His side. Otherwise, it is impossible. I mean, there is no way you're going to make it. You're going to fall on your face every time you turn around. Every time you start somewhere, you're going to stumble and trip. Man can't make it without his Father. Our Father has the ability to give us blessings. He has the ability to put holes in your bucket. Boy, it all leaks out. Or He can blow on it. I mean, these are scriptures I'm quoting, quite frankly. Impossible for man. But then we're so good at what we do, aren't we? That's what you want to be. That's a very dangerous thing, and that's the reason Satan uses flattery as his number one top gun to deceive people. Satan walks in and says, I can tell by looking at you that you are very qualified. You're an expert in your field. And it's obvious that you have good taste and that you're outstanding in your community. Just really builds you up. But, and that's what you want to watch, because he's going to take you right down Primrose Lane. It is impossible for man. The hardest lesson for us to learn, for we to learn. For man, it is impossible. You see, there is a plan of action, and it's in progress at all times. Our Father placed it in, executed the order long, long ago. And we continue on down that plan, that path, and it's going to happen exactly as it's written. You don't need to invent the wheel a dozen times. It's still round and it rolls. But your Father tells you that. So, learn from your Father, for with Him all things are possible. You want to be a success? Then you sure don't want to be an atheist, because I guarantee you, you'll be a failure. You're never going to have peace of mind. You're never going to be happy within yourself. You're never going to feel good about yourself. So self is a very dangerous thing. If you start listening to self, for all things with man are impossible. No need to even start out without God, because it's going to happen the way He has written within His Word exactly. And it has always come to pass as it's written. And you know something? It's going to continue to. Let's, if we may, go to the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Let's go to chapter 19 and verse 17. Jesus is putting together a group that will continue His Word and His operation, that is to say, salvation on earth, leading and teaching men. And one day, as He is there, was a rich guy comes up and says, "Hi, I want to join your band. I'm really a good guy. I've got everything. I've got it all going my way. And I'm good." And he says to Jesus in chapter 19, or Jesus answers him when he had asked, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" If you want to visualize this character, what he's really saying is, "Jesus, tell me what I can do for the little people today. I know the little people need me, because my servants, When they come to me, I tell them where to go and where to put here and what to put there. And you see, there's one thing I can't do, and that's work myself. That's why I have to have servants. But I'm good. I'm really good. Look what I've put together. One servant comes up to me and says, "Oh, good master, you certainly are the most handsome, and you certainly have got it all put together, and it's just a privilege working for you." And this is the type of guy that would say, "Go ahead, get your fishing rod, take 2 or 3 days fishing while the others are out there, because you're such a good judge of character." All right? So, self, with man, it's impossible. Jesus knew this, so that's why I'm sharing it with you coming out the gate. Now observe how he handles it, though. Verse 17. And Jesus, in answering him, and he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" This is Christ speaking. "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, that's kind of a pop quiz if you want to know the truth about it. Why? If there's only one good, and that is God, what was Jesus' name that God instructed through the prophets that he would be called? Emmanuel, God with us. All right? Meaning he was good. But he's checking the boy out to see how much he's in the world and how much he really knows scriptures. Because had he known scriptures, he would have known that he was speaking to God's office on earth. In fact, God. For if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. He was good. And speaking of commandments, listen to this guy. I mean, he had to be a pretty good old boy, because listen. And he said unto him, which of these commandments? Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. 19, honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Why, you can tell, I mean, actually deep down, he was a good old boy. Why? He answers, the young man said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I?" I doubt that there are very many of us in this room that could make that statement. I know I couldn't, because I wasn't that good, but that's good. He did none of those things. From youth up. I mean, we're talking to a guy that has really got it together. He's got riches, he's got wealth, many servants, and he's wanting to follow Christ. But listen to what follows, verse 20. The young man said unto him, yeah, we got that, 21. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect," this means really mature, "go and sell thou that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now look what this does to the guy. 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Meaning what? What does Christ want you to know from this? He worshipped his possessions more than he did the Father, and that was the test. God doesn't expect a man to give away everything he has and follow him. But this happened to be this man's problem. He worshipped what he had. And listen, it doesn't only have to do with property. You can have an ego. "Oh, I would do it his way, but I've got my ego. And my ego won't let go." Okay, or ego or something like that. Just haven't got. I mean, it can be many things besides wealth that a person actually places before God. You can't do that, my friend. You can't put anything before your Father. Why? He's the nearest relative you have. This old boy right away thinks, hey, if I were to do that, I'd have to start walking these dusty paths and I'd have to work. And I've got people to do work, not me. No, I can't do that. So, you see, he fell short in that one thing. It was self. He couldn't let go. And he was a good guy. You know, like I say, think about it. Compare yourself to that man. He couldn't let go of those things. Why? It was important that he be somebody. All right? And somebody, trying to be somebody, trying to be best. Now, I don't want to take away from anyone's drive to be sure of themselves and the gifts that God gave them, but I want you to recognize where the gifts came from. They came from our Father. And anytime you utilize them for any purpose other than doing as He would have you do, or at least attempting to seek and find out what it is He would have you do, then you're always going to fall short because self is going to get in the way. Just can't quite put old self to one side. As good as he was and as wealthy as he was, where was his fruit? As far as our Father is concerned, he was a big zero. I mean, he really was kind of a righteous man. He had everything, didn't break any of the laws. He was somebody. But he never produced any fruit. He was worth zilch, trash, as far as aiding God, because anything that won't produce fruit should be hewn down and cast out. All it does is get in the way, causes trouble. Must produce fruit, or it's really not doing itself any good or anyone else. So think on these things. It's what your Father would have you know. For man, it is impossible. Now let's continue on. He went his way. Then what did Jesus say? 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is harder for a person that's real good and got it all. You know, it comes down to that. 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This is to say, only if a man worships his riches. A lot of wealthy people don't worship their monies. They utilize them for good purposes and so on and so forth. Nothing wrong with that, so I don't want anyone to get on a guilt trip, certainly. And naturally, you all know from past teachings and your own studies that we're talking about the needle gate here and that a camel's got to unload his pack before he can crawl under or through the small gate beside the big city gate that's always closed at night. In other words, he's got to unload self, whether it be riches, ego, or just know you're the best at anything you want to do. But if you never do it, you're worthless. Impossible with man. Never happy. Got to unload. 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. Boy, they started thinking about it. That old boy hadn't done any murder. He had never stole anything. And I remember when I went by that old boy's chicken house and I was hungry, and I got a couple of eggs out of there. Now I'm a disciple. But I stole those eggs. I mean, now this isn't written. You know that. And I'm just giving you an example from experience. I don't think, and I don't know why I chose that, because I don't think I've ever stolen an egg. Don't think so. But I've been hungry enough maybe to try it a time or two. But I'm saying it can happen. See, they're saying, whoa, this old boy was really good. And here, I'm amazed because, well, just listen, saying, Who then can be saved? Some old boy that followed it that close. Who then can be saved? 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, what's the answer? Get on the winning team. Your Father created all these things. That's something to really take. Should I use the word pride? I think so. In that your Father put those stars where they are at night. You see them. And the magnificence of this great nation and the world and all the planets and all the wisdom. Think how wise your Father is. And He plays it straight with us. He doesn't pull any punches. He just says, by yourself, as far as salvation is concerned, it's impossible. You can't cut it. But with God, all things are possible. So naturally, the assumption is that when you take God into your life, it's possible, and it is. You can be productive. God will bless you. He will even bless people that come around you because they feel the presence of His Spirit that dwells within you. And all things are possible. Why shouldn't it be? He created it. It's His. And you're His child. Watch out for self. Self can be a very great danger to you. You see, God, when He created these bodies, built within the self-preservation, which even the dogs have that, to exist, to survive. No coyote out on the prairie. Boy, you've never seen self-survival the way it's built in. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's real easy for self to get fall in love with self. And that you want to be very careful of it. It can sneak up on you. It can happen in so many ways that you're not even aware of it. And there you are, all strung out, self, self, self. When you know it's impossible for man, you can't make it without our Father. Okay. And I'll tell you what let's do. Let's, if we may, while we're here in Matthew, go to the 18th chapter. 18th chapter, verse 10. I want to show you what it's like then when you're on His team. When you accept Him, His authority, and you become an obedient servant. And if you ever get to feeling a little high and mighty, then remember, you are nothing but a servant to the living God. And that's a privilege, even at that, to be able to serve Him. And think about it. Let's let self come back in for a moment. What does that make you? A servant and child that inherits everything our Father has. That's a lot. But God expects servitude from His servants, His children. And that's as it should be. You're to honor your own mother and father. You're to serve them in the way that a child would and as they are deserving, if they are deserving. You always have to appreciate them for having brought you into the world because, after all, you're you and you're here. All right? That's a good start. And from there, sometimes it may go downhill fast, or it may go uphill, be that as it may. But our Heavenly Father has never wronged us. Anything He has ever done to or for us, we deserved. Whether it was good or whether it was bad, we ask for it. He's totally and completely fair, and that's why you never have to worry about serving Him or being on His team, because He will give you a square deal. He'll shoot straight with you when the world will rip you off, some of them. All right? So, Now, chapter 18, and let's go with verse 10. What is it like serving Him? If you can let your faith go just one step further to know that you're His child, then you'll find He really cares for you. Verse 10 of 18, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. That's to say, God's children that know Him, that love Him, that serve Him, the election. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, the fellow servants, it may be your grandparents that have passed on, don't make a religion out of this, but nevertheless, if you have the faith to believe, it's true. To watch over you and having the face of God means they can get His attention whenever they want it. To say, hey, old whiz-bang is down there doing 90 miles an hour and they're coming up to a dead end. You better whistle at him or something because he's about to go through the railing there. You know. Now, a lot of people, I believe that. I believe there have been cases where somebody has even been shaken to wake them up when they fell asleep driving. I have the faith to believe what is written, that if you're on God's side, all things are possible. Boy, what a difference from impossible to all things are possible. That you got somebody looking out for you that cares in your daily life. Things are not going right. Well, I'll just pray that God change their mind. And here are the angels here that have the attention of God. And they go over and we get an attitude adjustment at times. I've seen that happen. The power of prayer, but don't ever think that it's just not your prayer, self-prayer. It's the power of our Father that's behind it that can give attitude adjustments if you dare believe. If you have the faith to believe, then it becomes a reality, a fact, not fiction, not a religion, but a fact in your daily life. Why am I saying this? Because I think it's probably the best medicine or healing balm for an egoed self that one can have to realize how small we are compared to God's plan that is in action around us and what a little part of it we are. That the very angels in heaven are engineering, protecting. And you're not to worship angels. They're, like I said, I know as experience of a pastor that grandparents or someone that a person really loves and trusts, God lets come and get them in the transition of death. I've been at a bedside when a favorite sister that had passed away 15 years before my mentor and teacher passed away, spoke to his sister, "Hi, Mary." And I had studied under this mentor of mine in the languages until I knew for a fact, anytime he had an emotional feeling in his eyes, I could recognize it. And I looked to see who was standing there because I saw the recognition in his eye and there was no one there. I later asked his wife, who was out of the room, who Mary was, and she said it was his sister that passed 15 years ago within an hour and a half. She took him with her. I believe it. I have, as a pastor, I've had an opportunity to experience many things. Some good and some bad. But God loves us. He really does. He goes the extra mile. He cares. And there are other people that care. They see you. They do care. Okay. Verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And indeed, You know and I know this world is lost without him. 12. How think ye? What do you think about this? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? All you cattlemen and ranchers, you know that. You've experienced it. That's just the way it is. That's just nature. And God is very natural. That one might have even been bad. That may be the reason it's lost, is it was frisky and a strayer. But you're going after it because you care. Verse 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Verse 14. Even so, you know what that means? Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. In other words, when one of you says, Father, I love you, there's a rejoicing in heaven. When one of you that might have got a little confused along the way and you say, what am I doing that I've left God out of this? I've left his word out of it. And you get back into it. There's a rejoicing because you're found. It's real. And you can have the faith to believe that. Watch out for self to go off on your own with man. Just believe it before you start. For man, it is impossible. But in our Father, all things are possible. What a difference. So you see, it isn't, he should know us pretty well. He created us, all right? So, but he also stands with us and for us when we ask, when we seek. Now, let's take this step. We know what man's qualifications are. God's made it very clear. It's impossible. But at the same time, he loves you enough. He says, don't you dare touch one of these little ones, because I've got people watching them. I know when you touch them. I care about them. If one of them goes astray, I'm going to go looking for them. That's where he chastises you when you get off on self. He's looking for you. He's going to bring you back into the camp. And then is the rejoicing. I want you to see that. It's possible with him. Okay, now that was the 18th. Let's go back to the 17th. I seem to be digressing here in chapters, but hopefully not in truth. There was a lunatic. That means somebody that was moonstruck. And I mean, they had a demon that wouldn't quit. And you got to remember these disciples. Watch them. I mean, they'd been sent out two by twos, and they had the power to just overwhelm demons and to drive them out of everything. And you know what they probably got to saying, and I'm putting a lot into this today. It's my opinion, what I'm about to say. I think that they got to the point to say, hey, did you see what I did? That old boy was so infested that the demons, I could see them coming out. I don't want to say coming out of his ears. There's little ones in here, and it's just a figure of speech, but all over the place he's got demons. And did you see what I did? I run them out of there. They did? Self did? I think not. For man, it's impossible. In the name of Christ, they were doing it. I think they forgot that. Because they come across this lunatic, one struck, lunar is of the night, Satan. All right? I mean, he's got Satan's bug. They couldn't cast him out. I think you know why. I really do. Let's pick it up, if we may, at 17:20, and I've laid the groundwork. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Mountain means nation. In other words, if you've got the faith of a mustard seed, I can use you to help straighten the nations out. I can do that. It's not impossible for me. I can use you to teach and to change people's minds with my help and change nations, maybe a little bit at a time. But if you've got faith, you can do it. Why? Because with that faith, you know that it is actually God that accomplishes it. And you're a servant. But oh my, what a time to be a servant and a part of something like that. Think about it, all right? And it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Do you have the faith to believe that? In the spiritual context, you should. He's our Father. As a matter of fact, this little ministry is a pretty good example of that as far as shaping or affecting nations. Maybe more so than you might think. At least to the point that God would want it or have it. That should let you know it's a reality. Why? Because we keep self out of it and let God do it. God's Word do it. Because it is powerful. And He is able. And with Him it is possible. 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. When you get a little weak away from the Father, and you don't seem to be, maybe you're letting self get too involved, and I truly believe that's what the problem was in part, then you'd better get back to square one and get back to some basic Christianity like we're doing today. Simply basic Christianity. To understand where the power comes from so you can plug into it. Because some of us get unplugged occasionally. All right? 22. Now, learn a lesson. Always learn to listen to Him. What did He say immediately following that? 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man... This is not maybe. It's a direct statement. The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. You know He was. 23. And they shall kill Him. And the third day He shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Now, what did He tell them? He said, hey, we're going to go down here to Jerusalem in another place. I'm going to be betrayed. They're going to crucify me. But on the third day, I'm going to defeat death. I'm going to boot Satan clear out of the saddle. I'm going to do it. That was great. I think He gets a message to us in this. I think not this book. I think I prefer Luke. To do this, go with me to Luke 24. He told them over and over, I'm going up there. I'm going to be betrayed. They're going to crucify me. I'll even be put in the tomb. But 3 days, you meet me back in Galilee. That's pretty simple instructions, is it not? But I want you to see from what we're about to read what self can do to you. I feel that God caused it to happen in this case as an example for us today. Now listen to it. Verse 13. He's been crucified. He's in the tomb. And we pick it up with verse 13, Luke 24. And behold, two of them, that's to say His disciples, students, went that same day to a village called Emmaus. It means warm bath, so you probably know why they went there, all right? Probably some hot springs there. Which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It's about 7.5 miles, and they've hiked down there and got all fixed up, well, nice and clean, and they're walking back. 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Beloved, they were there and they observed it. And they're talking about it. Wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it great? 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. 16, for your benefit, I think this next is added, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. In other words, I think for a purpose, all right, to emphasize the fact to you that it's real easy to say you have faith. But I mean, he's been crucified, and man, he died. I mean, they saw him on the cross. He gave up the ghost. He even said, it is finished. He's gone. And it's real hard for a human being to not think in the supernatural, because we're not accustomed to the supernatural oft times in our life, perhaps as much as we should be. That is to say, prayerfully with our Father. They're just going along, oh, it's been 3 days. He's gone. But what did he tell them? You read it yourself. 3 days, I'll be back. And their eyes are closed, though, so that you really get a close look at this. 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? What are you sad about? He told them, I'm going to rise. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, renowned of the Father, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Did you just get here? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Haven't you heard about it? I thought everybody had heard about it. 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. Now, if he really believed that, I want to make a point here. If he really believed that, why wasn't he already in Nazareth? Why was he getting a hot bath on the third day? Maybe he smelled, I don't know. But really, why was he over here getting a bath when he knew Jesus was going to appear to them in Nazareth if he had listened to that prophet? Got the point? I've got faith. Yeah, it was a great story. He was here. He died. 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They killed him. 21. But we trusted that it had been in he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Do you think they believed? I don't. It may be done to emphasize the fact for you, because God did close their eyes to even who he was. But it shows you what faith can do to you if you let self do all the thinking, instead of getting into the Word and believing what our Father shares with you. You can count on it. It's going to happen the way it's written. Well, they're having trouble with it. They even mentioned the 3 days. They should have given themselves a clue here. 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. We were astonished when Mary Magdalena got back, which were early at the sepulchre. At least she had courage enough to go down there. 23. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they all had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Well, beloved, he had already told them he would be. Believe God's word. When Christ says it, it said, that's the way it is, that's the way it's going to stay, and it's not going to change. It isn't a matter of try to separate yourself from having enough faith to believing it, to realize it's a reality. It's happening. And it's going to continue to happen. Verse 24, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, it was empty. But him they saw not." There's doubt there, any way you want to slice it. He had told them, "I'll see you there in 3 days. Don't go to the tomb in Jerusalem." He didn't tell them that. But he didn't tell them, "I'm going to see you there." He said, "I'm going to see you in Nazareth. I'm sorry, Galilee." Difference. 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools, dullards, and slow of heart to believe." That's their problem. All that the prophets have spoken, all of it. Psalms 22, the whole thing. "A virgin shall conceive." They weren't really seriously believing any of it. 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It was written, and he had entered into glory," which is a wonderful thing, not a terrible thing. 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself," of exactly what was going to happen. "And beloved, as he has expounded in your heart exactly how the end times are going to come to pass, that a false Messiah shall appear first, and most of the world will worship him." You've read it. You've read Matthew 24. You've read Mark 13. You've got to believe it. It's a fact. As sure as you're here, it's going to come to pass that way. Don't be wandering around warm springs taking hot baths. Don't stop taking baths now. I didn't mean it that way. Be careful and do it his way. That's what I'm telling you, all right? He's told you in the scriptures. Are you familiar with them? Well, I've never read the word. Well, I'm sorry. You're in trouble. Well, I didn't have time. Well, he won't have time for you either. 28. "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther." He wasn't going to push himself off on them. Christ won't push himself off on you. He's not a beggar. He's not going to beg you to believe. You either do or you don't. Cut bait or fish. One or the other. 29. "And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us." Good old boys, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. 30. "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them." Did that do it? 31. "And their eyes were opened." God allowed them to see and think. "And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." It really should have woken them up, have awakened them. 32, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" He had done it over and over and over while he walked with them before the crucifixion as well. How long does it take it to sink in? Well, for some. What he's saying to you, with man, it's impossible. And if you're counting on yourself instead of him, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about finding peace of mind in these flesh bodies, being successful in life today, and being a servant of the living God, and making a difference, not only in your own life, but in people around you. In other words, when you humble yourself, you do become somebody. You become a child of God. Do you know what it requires? In closing, one last verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Do you want to know how God really feels about you, your belief, your faith? Do you want to know what he counts it as? In closing, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. As you all remember, this is the faith chapter. This is the one that talks about faith and its value and how and who had it. The reality. Hebrews 11:6. And one verse only, and it reads, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Have you got that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith, where does that leave you? Think about it. If you don't have faith, where does that leave you? If God finds it impossible, and probably you, impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. He's got them looking out for you, beloved. A rewarder, a blesser, one that can assist you, that can cause you to be successful as His servant. A rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's not a beggar. He's not going to beg you. You've got to do it on your own. Can you cut it or not? I don't know. If you can't, you can cut it if you'll have God in your Christian boat. Because all things are possible with Him. You become a can-do type person. But without Him, I'm sorry, life for you is going to be impossible. You're not going to be happy. I don't want it to sound like that there is some special group of people that I've decided that they needed a little. I don't do that. I do it for myself as well as everyone. We're late in the day. And faith is what pleases God. Do you believe He is? I am that I am. He is that He is. He's real. He can take your life and fix it if it needs it. He can continue blessing you. If you think you have blessings now, then think and believe on Him, and you haven't seen anything yet. I could use that again on this ministry. Every time I think, wow, this is awesome. We haven't even tasted the blessings yet. Like 10 years ago, I thought, we're an international ministry. That's really something. Oh, my dear ones. The blessings hadn't even really started good yet. The true blessings are the fruit. The people that write and say the word, not us, not this man and you that have worked and we strive, but the word of God has changed my life. I'm off drugs. I've been straight for 2 years now. And my family is too, and we're happy. Hundreds and thousands of witnesses to that fact every month. So it is possible with our Father when He gives you the way. Well, I would just like to know what it is. Open your eyes. Do not be blind. You hold it in your hand. It's called the Word of God. That's the way it is. There's no need to say any more. It's going to happen that way. And you can have the faith. You can bet your soul on it. That is to say, get in it, absorb it, and see what it does in your life. And I say this because I see those two disciples walking down that road after what they had witnessed. And the things they were saying, they hadn't really taken that serious. Why? He died on the cross. I saw Him. He was dead. But had He not raised Lazarus from the dead? You know? Never doubt Him. That's what I'm saying. For when you withdraw within yourself, and I suppose all of us maybe at times, I thank God I don't really have enough time to a whole lot, but to withdraw in self, It's impossible. It really is. And you're not going to make it. So you're just whistling Dixie or paddling upstream. I started to say something else, and I guess I better not. It's like, it's not going to work for you, all right? It's impossible. And so stay in His Word. He loves you a lot. Do you know why? You're His child. And boy, when you make that step, He said, don't anyone dare touch one of my little ones. I'm watching. And if I don't happen to be watching myself, I got somebody else watching. I know. Don't bother him. He loves you. Never use that as a weapon, certainly, but as a confidence that you can have faith in He that loved you enough that He did the hard part. He died on the cross. That you could have what you have. And now it is the glory. So, with you, everything is possible. Why? You're a believer. And praise God for that. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that all things are possible for us. And we are can-do type people because we have You, Father, as our Father. And in our service to You, Father, we ask that You continue guiding, leading through Thy Word, giving us through the Holy Spirit unction, Father, in the direction You would have us go. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.